Welcome, everybody. This is Sources from the Sofa podcast. We are recording Wednesday night for college football and the NFL wildcard weekend. We're going to recap a little bit of the firings. We were 3 for 3 on who we thought was for sure going to go in, and then we had a few others. A lot of coordinators that got fired, which we didn't really talk about that, but some of them were surprising as well, especially with Washington. And it looks like
he just resigned, right? He wasn't fired in mutual part of ways.
Yeah.
They're making it seem like he was fired, though.
Yeah.
And they're making it seem like ownership was the one from on high. And I think there's a lot of questions on that Washington job right now. They had this 1 year of success, but like ownership isn't as hands off or letting things run the show as probably people thought.
Oh, really?
The previous ownership. I mean, I saw a couple posts on this and everything, and obviously this has my bear slant to it because it was basically about Ben Johnson turning that job down after the first interview or whatever, like a couple of 2 years ago or whatever.
And they kind of slammed him for it, right? Ownership from Washington, from what I remember.
They did. That's where they came out and said, oh, his interview is bad and all this type of stuff. But there was something, things are coming out now. I was like, oh, he sent something in the interview, and this could be all online conjecture, but like about like where ownership was at and like what was about him. And now, you know, after making the conference championship game, you had him firing or mutually parting ways from an offensive coordinator who honestly was in the head coaching, like, you know, last year. I'm like, this guy was up there with Ben Johnson, and people in like Chicago circles or people telling me like, oh, you should be hiring Cliff Kingsbury instead of Ben Johnson. Like, and a year later he's fired. Like, that's where it goes to show you on some of these coordinator stuff. I'm like, where people are at, people hype him up. I mean, Eric Bieniemy is another example. I mean, he's the Bears like running backs coach right now. I was like, and that was the guy like, oh, we got to hire him as the head coach. I'm like, these positions don't always translate, but I think there's something deeper potentially going on in Washington.
Yeah, well, D.C. and O.C. gone. We'll get into it in a little bit. There's like a lot of trauma.
The D.C., we knew that was coming because, I mean, Joe Witt had his, you know, responsibilities taken from him, what, week 12, week 13?
Yeah.
I mean, Kingsbury, maybe because, you know, he kind of runs the quarterback a lot. I think they had the third highest runs between quarterbacks, and Daniels getting hurt, so they didn't like that as an offense.
Yeah,
I mean, Mariota did pretty well when he came in. I mean, they didn't have, what, probably 60% of their offensive weapons throughout the year. So, I mean, it really wasn't an offensive problem.
Well,
so it sounds like management.
A big thing,
didn't
too,
like
though.
The way he was running the quarterback.
Yeah, they didn't. But then also a big thing, there's like some like turmoil there. You know, they definitely like beefed up on veteran players when they, you know, when they changed the ownership and new regime.
Well, they're the oldest team in the league, right? Age-wise,
yeah,
by a lot.
So to not make any adjustments and expect them to be healthy for another year again, we just saw what happened. They were like completely decimated. It's a very old team, you know. They didn't address some of the issues, so it's I think that's more on the GM. I don't know. Since we're talking about it, you guys want to talk about the other firings, or let's just We'll come back to it. Talk a little college football first.
I think we called all the firings and possible
Stefanski,
firings. I think we've been spot
Gannon,
on.
Gannon, Carroll.
Yeah.
Well, we thought Carroll was a possibility. That was really awesome. Harbaugh. A lot of people were shocked, but I sent Jason a whole bunch of memes. I'm like, I'm telling you, man, these guys have been wanting to fire for a long time. They did a collage of memes for the past 6 years.
There's been a lot of fire where that smoke's been for the last 2 months.
Yeah. So, like, people are like, a lot of people are rejoicing, and a lot of people are like, well, who else are we going to get? So I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, Aaron made the right call. I think Stefanski. I think for both Stefanski and Harbaugh, too. I mean, I don't know if you question your choice. Maybe it's that change of scenery thing for Harbaugh. He's been there so long. Hey, we need a different voice in the locker room, a different vision for, you know, the second half here of Lamar's you know, Lamar's career. But I mean, for those two individuals, Stefanski and Harbaugh specifically, it was like they got fired and immediately every other organization was reaching out for an interview. So it's like one of those things. Do you question you firing the guy that everyone else is super interested? Like Miami allegedly is interested in Harbaugh and they don't even have an opening.
Yeah. Seven coaches or seven organizations called Harbaugh's agent within 45 minutes. And Miami is one of them. I think, Colin, you know, Cowherd brought that up. He's like, you know, you made the wrong choice when you fire a coach and literally their phone is blowing up like 10 minutes later. Like half the league is calling him like, hey, can we set up an interview with you?
There was a story that came out how somebody from the Jets organization after they interviewed what's his face, the new Patriots head coach. I'm sorry,
Vrabel.
Been a long day. Vrabel. Yeah, they interviewed him, and like they were kind of talking behind the scenes, like, why did Tennessee fire this guy? This guy's brilliant.
Yeah,
but these idiots didn't try to hire him either. So I don't know, like.
So was Vrabel ever going to go to the Jets? Because I feel like New England just kind of like trolls the Jets. Like they tease them, like, oh yeah, we're interested, like Belichick, Vrabel, but like behind closed doors, like they hate Woody Johnson.
There's hatred.
They hate that organization.
It's Johnson. I think it's just all Woody Johnson.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Any other firings? There was like some, you know, Eberflus, Jason. Your favorite coach. He's gone.
I think Eberflus, needs to be considered for either like the Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator position, the Vikings defensive coordinator, position, maybe even the Lions. The Lions need some juice in that. I think he should be considered to hire.
He's gonna be an analyst or consultant of one of those organizations for sure. I don't know where Eberflus goes.
They of course fired their OC. Yeah. Well,
we knew that. Well, we knew that course, was coming 10 weeks ago.
Yeah. Any other firings? No. That was it. There's probably
one or two more. Raheem Morris was fired last time we came on, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that was right away.
Zach Taylor saved his job, which we thought was a possibility.
Him and the GM, dude. It sounds like the owner doesn't want to go through the process right now. So they're going to do one more year with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is going to quit on them. Watch. And
next year is kind of a make or break. Todd Bowles safe in Tampa. We thought that was a real possibility, having won the division 3 straight years. I thought he earned another year. Maybe some staff changes coming there. Maybe the OC out, because Todd Bowles is the defensive coordinator. He calls the plays. So we'll see what happens there.
I have no problem with Bowles. Yeah, Bowles is a good guy. He built enough equity in that organization, so he deserves it.
Yeah. I think that's where we're at right now, right?
I think
McDaniels in Miami – kind of the wild card, supposedly it's part of the GM surge, but like you mentioned, Rome, they're calling Harbaugh. I don't know.
Like, what if they got Harbaugh in and then they won? Like, hey, McDaniel, do you mind just being the OC or Harbaugh?
What about co-head coaches or what? Have we ever had co-head coaches?
Why not? Why not be the first one? How cool would that be?
I think it would be pretty cool, honestly.
Well, I mean, the Raiders are basically paying like 5 coaches right now, so they might as well just bring all these guys back and just get them.
Are the Raiders the first organization, I think, ever to have like 4 straight new coaches starting a new season, or 5, whatever it is they got coming up?
I think it's 6 because they had a few interims, right?
No, Pierce was the interim. That was the only, I think, real interim, but got the job. But yeah, I think they're paying what? They're paying Gruden, McDaniels.
Do they have to pay Gruden because of the lawsuit, or is that the NFL is going to have to back pay that?
I don't know. He's still collecting. Maybe they haven't, but.
Bless you.
Bless you, yes.
Thank you. I had to get the sneeze button on that one. Yeah.
I think if we see any other firings, we might see 1 or 2, but they're all in the playoffs right now. So
I mean, the Florida one's interesting. I mean, I don't know. You know, you let that leak out already that, you know, McDaniels he's still your guy, but not if I get there's a really good guy out there that won a Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, why not? I can't see Harbaugh in Miami though. That's so weird.
Where do you think Harbaugh fits?
I think just sit out this cycle, man. I don't think this is a good coaching cycle right now.
I think the teams suck. I mean, this is the worst of the worst. I mean,
well, just ownership, you know, like the GM's in place. Like, there's nothing like really. I think if anything, Baltimore is the best job, and that might be the only good job out there.
I think the only two good jobs are Baltimore and the Giants. The Giants and Baltimore, I think, are good jobs.
Dude,
that's what I was going to say. I would say if I'm seeing someone Harbaugh on this cycle, it'd be the Giants. They have a like kind of legacy ownership group, you know, a little more old school. Yeah. They have some foundation with Jackson Dart.
Trust the Mara family.
Yeah, so that'd be the one where it seems to be fit, where that's just a little more of an old school cultural type thing, and you're bringing in a guy that had this job for, what was it, 18 years or something?
Yeah, Harbaugh, 18 years, yeah.
Yeah. That would work. Dude, like the Giants, they have a good running back, good quarterback, good receiver, good defensive end. I think they have a good safety as well. Their GM was getting flack for getting rid of Barkley, but, you know, like the reasoning actually made sense. and they saved cap and gave him an opportunity to win a ring. They got some good players in that. So I don't know. Yeah, those are two good jobs.
I mean, the Giants aren't paying anybody except Burns on defensive end. I mean, all their guys are young. They're not paying
all,
the quarterback.
All rookie contracts. Yeah.
They got a good left tackle. I mean, it's yeah, I mean, the scenario. Giants, the Giants have a nice roster. I mean, I think Jason and Romy touched on it. Would they blow like 6 fourth-quarter leads in the final 8 minutes of games? I mean, if they win half those games where they've got 7 wins, they're right there at 500.
It's there. So it's there.
They're a 7-9 team, 9-win team right now if you get the right guy in there.
Oh, Harbaugh? Yeah, it would be an 8-9 win team, at least, I think.
Even Stefanski, I know they're high on his list. So
at the same thing, though, he only got 8 wins with the Ravens. So half a dozen, 60 the other. Is that the phrase?
I don't think that's the phrase, but I think you're close. So I'll let it slide.
What is it? What is it?
I don't know. But it does. That doesn't sound right.
It didn't sound right. It didn't sound right.
Half a dozen, 6 of the other. We'll have our research team look it up. All right.
We got 30 people in the background getting to work right now.
I know. Westy, come on, man. Get some work done, bro. All right. Let's get into it then. We'll start off with the college football playoff.
6-2 another.
What? That doesn't sound right. Is that it?
It's saying half a dozen, 6-2 another. So, I mean, sure, it's a half a dozen to me, but it's 6-2 another, and it's you.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you for clarifying that so fucking quick. The quickest research we've gotten.
He's got that AI agent over there working.
I know.
Overtime.
We got a few jerseys on the pod right now. Jason rocking some Chi-Town White Sox gear, although it does look like a Kings hockey jersey.
It's actually a Mammoth jersey. So I've had my snowboarding paradise up in Mammoth. So it was a
you snowboard.
I do. I'm not very good. You know, I'm bad actually. But you know, I love the mountains. You know, I in California, you know, I could just drive to the mountains. I don't have to live in it like in Chicago. But Mammoth had some great merch this last year. So it's like a hockey sweater. But it's got sweater material, and it's nice. So, yeah, it's nice. I don't get to wear it much in SoCal. It doesn't get cold. So it's like, hey, it's cold. This is a cool thing I get to wear.
Aaron rocking a Green Bay jersey, but I haven't seen you rock a jersey in a long time. Which one is that one?
A little Favre action here, Ron.
A little Favre. Oh, man. Everyone keep your welfare money in your pockets.
Hey, Aaron's on the pod. Better to go to Favre than the Simoleons, if you know what I mean.
I really feel bad for Favre, man. I really liked him as a football player, and the guy's just getting beat down on the way out. All right. College football, we have – this is it. The Final Four, Miami. Wait, why does it say Miami, Florida?
Yeah, to specify it's Miami of Florida, you know, Miami of Ohio is not playing in the National.
Who would get that mixed up?
Well, for sports book credit, they got to do it because Miami, you know, just in case somebody brings a Miami ticket, they're like, oh, Miami won. You're like, well, which one? I don't know. So it's Miami, Florida.
And then they don't put a comment in there. All right. Where do you find these fucking lines, dude? Like
this is my book. All right. This is my book.
All right, dude. All right. Like, there's always something up with the lines that you give us. Like,
maybe Aaron's trying to tell us something that Miami didn't get the logo. The other three schools in this semifinals got the logo, but they didn't get the U.
I do see that right now. I do.
Maybe.
You know what? No one wants a pit of you. Turn that upside down, man.
All right. Fiesta Bowl, Glendale, Arizona. That is tomorrow night. That'll be Thursday night. The Miami Hurricanes earning that berth into the college football playoff, playing Ole Miss. We had Ole Miss. I had at least Ole Miss in consideration before the season started to make it to the championship game. I think this is a great matchup, actually, and I'm a little worried. And because Lane Kiffin's not with Ole Miss, I don't want to see him move any further. I want to see Miami. In fact, I'm kind of rooting for Miami to win it all out, you know, from here on out. And then we have the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia. A lot of peaches, a lot of big peaches over there, if you catch
my
drift.
Plenty of peaches over there.
Quick story. I was pouring wines for a guest, and I was like, oh, where are you guys from? They're like, oh, we're from Georgia. I'm like, ah, Atlanta. And then, like, the way I said it, though, like, the guy's like, now hold on.
Why'd you do it like that? Now.
And I was like, you know what? I was there a couple of times. I thought I fell in love with the girl. She was a big Braves fan, New England Patriots fan as well. Hooked up a few times. And he's like, that must have been really good for you to still remember. Like, how long ago was it? I'm like, I was in college, dude. This is like 18 years ago.
Hey, you don't remember, so, like, you don't forget that peach from Atlanta. You don't forget that peach from Atlanta. I mean, Jason's, he's, you know, he's been over there a few times for work, so he knows what's up. He
it's knows like what's up. Trouble this time. It's a new year.
Hey, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he knows what's up. He knows what's going on.
Gabby, earmuffs. Earmuffs. This is not for wives for like the next 2 minutes. All right.
Now, peach cobbler pie. I don't know what peach cobbler pie you're talking about, Rome, but you know.
Man, I could fuck up a peach cobbler, man. I haven't had a good one in a long time. But man, if I met anyone that could make me a peach cobbler, I'm putting a ring on it. I'm putting a ring on it. All right. Anyways,
real low bar. This guy's just going to go to Atlanta and put a ring on it because someone made him peach cobbler.
All right. We got the Ducks, Oregon Ducks against Indiana, who's looking like the best team left, really, in my opinion. They got to be the favorites to win the championship, right? They are.
They are, Rome. Sweet. They are.
Let's start off.
I think
off
Ohio State was before they got upset, but yeah, Indiana is now the favorite.
Well, we can thank Ole Miss. All right, well, let's kick it off with the Fiesta Bowl then. The Miami Hurricanes favored by 3.5 money line, -170. The over under is 52. Mississippi is a +150 on the money line. Then the spread. It's just too much to go over, man. Aaron,
three and
why don't
half,
you start off
half
by
spread.
Breaking it down with us? Yeah, 3.5 spread, but Ole Miss is favored to cover that while Miami is under. All right.
Yeah, Miami's even money. Mississippi, Ole Miss, -110 on the 3.5 spread there. Yeah, I mean, it's a big game here at the Fiesta Bowl semifinal. Winner, like you mentioned, Rome, goes on to the national title, which happens to be in Miami on their home field if they get there. I don't know if we've ever had that. You know, we've seen that a couple times here in the NFL in the last couple of years of teams winning the Super Bowl in their home field. So Miami's playing for that opportunity. Ole Miss, the question has been all week, really, which coaches are going to be allowed to coach? Obviously, the transfer portal opening up on the 2nd of January. Coaches have kind of been going back and forth. I do know Charlie Weiss Jr., the OC, is going to be there. He's still going to be calling plays. I think the tight ends coach as well. They've lost a few other assistants that Lane Kiffin and the LSU administration would not allow back.
Really?
But, yeah, Ole Miss has been, you know, kind of has that, you know, edge to them. You know, kind of like us against the world. We've seen that where a lot of teams have, you know, shown up, played well. Miami, defensively, we know they've been great in these playoffs. I mean, that defensive line has been dominant. They're going to have to show up again here. Trinidad Chambliss, we saw what he did against Georgia in that fourth quarter. Jason and Rome, you guys both mentioned that how he basically, he was terrific. He took over the game, made some big plays, led his team here to the semifinal matchup. For me, this comes down to, you know, can Mississippi Ole Miss hold up on the offensive line? Their offensive line's been good all year. I haven't really seen them be, you know, get dominated in the SEC. Miami, we saw in the first two games against A&M and Ohio State, just take over the game with that front four they have. If Mississippi can give the quarterback Trinidad Chambliss some time, I think he can make some plays here. I think this is a game that Mississippi can win. It's a game I like them to cover. I'll take the 3.5.
Yeah.
I think it's a close game. I wouldn't be surprised if Miami wins, but I like the 3.5. I like the hook here. Feels like a 27-24, 24-21 type game. Comes down to the end. Lean towards Miami winning this one, but I do like the points of Ole Miss here. And the over-under, I was leaning the over, kind of leaning towards the under now, but I do like Ole Miss getting 3.5 here.
Okay. Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah, the half on that with the 3.5 was the interesting take to me, considering, you know, Ole Miss is no pushover. I know the speculations is about the coaching but this team really comes out to play, and they got guys, man. You know, when you look over the talent of that Ole Miss team, it's good. On the flip side, Miami, we mentioned it last week, they're great in the trenches. That's how Mario Cristobal built this team. So they can go toe to toe with the SEC schools, and they really built and recruited and transfer portal and whatever he had to do this team against, you know, for the an SEC opponent like Ole Miss or whoever might have been, Alabama or Georgia. So it's interesting. I do like Miami, but the 3.5 is just very, very tempting to go with Ole Miss. So I'll agree with Aaron on that as well.
52. Yeah, I like the under on this one.
I think defense is going to
show
now.
Up. I think the Miami defense is going to show up. Well, they have to. If they don't show up, this game might be over.
Roma, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know if you saw that quote on our YouTube pod that you posted on the college football playoff. Did you see that? We had a comment from a Miami fan that was on there. Did you see that?
No.
Okay, let me pull it up here. So, give me a second while I find that here. Got to go to the channel. I got to go to the channel. All right, I am there now. So we got a quote comment from Adam, the sports guy. He says, people need to wake up on Carson Beck. He turned into the low-hanging fruit for anyone doing a preview on a Miami game. We'll see which Carson Beck shows up, but Carson Beck, 16 TDs, 3 interceptions in his last 8 games. So this is a Miami fan. I did check his page. He is a Hurricane fan. So, you know, shout out to him and his Canes getting here to the semifinal. But, yeah, I mean, Carson Beck, we talked about it. If he doesn't turn the ball over, Miami wins, right? I mean, he had 4 turnovers against Louisville. Had a bad game against SMU. I think this is a game Carson Beck needs to ball out because you're going to need to score points to beat Ole Miss. This isn't an offense that plays slow. They play quick. They play tempo. They score against everybody. Georgia, don't matter. They scored 30-plus against them twice. You know, this is a team in the SEC. They score points. You know, their defense gives up points, too, because they're on the field a lot. But Miami, Carson Beck, there's going to be opportunities for big plays. He's kind of played like, you know, game manager, just relied on that defense a lot. This is a game where they need to get offensively big plays in the passing game, I think, are there. And as Jason mentioned, in the trenches, we know Miami fourth quarter loves to run the ball. They kind of controlled the clock there against Ohio State and won. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game. Ole Miss, they've got that swag to them, right? They just got it to them.
They
Trinidad Chambliss. They feel good. It's kind of like, you know, they want to stick it to Lane Kiffin more than anybody. It's not us against
Ole Miss.
It's us against Lane Kiffin. Hey, you want to take 5 coaches? No worries. We'll win another game. And I'm going to say Mississippi gets the upset. I like them to win, but I'll take the 3.5.
Wow. Okay. I'm rooting for Miami. I think.
Thought you'd go Ole Miss, Rome. You've been on Ole Miss since day one.
Yeah, but, you know, I was rooting for them. I'm a Lane Kiffin guy, despite everything. I just think maybe the Cinderella story ends. You know, they're losing coaches. They've been playing balls out. They've been a really good team. They've hit definitely another level these last few games, but it's hard to keep that energy for another 2 games. And I think Miami would be a better opponent for whoever wins out of the Peach Bowl for either one. I think it'd be for a better championship. To see Miami come back as a 10th seed, possibly win a championship. You know, the whole country's going to go crazy over that. That's like media heaven. Everyone's still living in the 2000s. It's been a long time. What have they done since then? No one. I don't give a shit.
They haven't even
a
won.
Lot of people,
I mean, Jason's pointed out 100 times. They haven't even won an ACC title.
No, he's absolutely right. No, like once he said, I'm like, you're right. Miami hasn't done shit, which is why I brought up like USC. Like what has USC done besides that Pete Carroll age? They haven't done anything before then. It wasn't since OJ years, you know? And you know, every time
thing,
they have
the
good
biggest
years,
thing
US, a lot of bad
Rome,
comes
the
out
biggest
of
thing USC's done is duck Notre Dame and pin them off their schedule. That's the biggest thing they've done in the last 20 years.
There it is, man. Yeah, locally in Miami, a lot of talk is when is the U back? Is the U officially back? I mean, you saw glimmers of that when they had Aaron, I'm dropping. Who was the former Georgia coach that went to Miami for a little bit?
Mark Rick.
No.
So they had that one good year with Mark Rick. They didn't win the ACC, but they got to a pretty big bowl. You felt like they were getting, you know, some talent there. You know, he leaves, and then, you know, you don't see much from previous coach that got that succeeded him that was on the staff that's now at Duke. And I'm dropping names left and right today. I forget names.
Manny Diaz.
It's okay.
Manny Diaz.
Oh, but Diaz, yeah, so okay. Manny,
yeah, Diaz was there. I mean, he was a Miami guy. He was on Rick's staff. I think he went to Temple for like a second, and then they brought him back. Didn't work out. And then Cristobal was, you know, another Miami guy and brought in. But he was brought in and paid pretty much as the savior because he had Oregon such out of place. He had been through Alabama and everything he had done there through the Nick Saban, you know, coaching rehabilitation tree. And, you know, they paid a lot for him. So, yeah, I mean, haven't done anything since, I mean, in my memory, what is it, 03? The national title loss with Sean Taylor and McGahee and all that stuff in those games. But,
yeah,
I mean, that was like that kind of the end of the era. But at this point, I think Cristobal's got them to a point where they are back in this conversation and they're perennially going to be available. And I think that's why I picked them at the beginning of the year, because they got the guys. They should have ran the ACC. It's their biggest thing. It should be an undefeated team.
Let me
ask Jason, do you trust, I know you've always brought it up and I've agreed to, do you trust Cristobal in these big moments to be able to get it done?
I think
that's been
I do.
Always the niche with him is he gets in his own ways and does something stupid. Do you trust Mario Cristobal to get it done and win this national title?
I feel this year, since they had their second loss, there's something that kind of course corrected with the way they were operating the game a little bit. I mean, but is the game close enough in the second half is probably the question, because when you looked at the previous game, they got out to that hot lead.
When's the last time Miami's been behind in a game? Was it the last loss? Like, they seem like they've been always like playing ahead, like you're mentioning here, Jason.
I mean, yeah. Would you look at? I mean, just the Ohio State game. You know, I mean,
Beck has had a pretty good few winning drives actually in that stretch as well.
Well, he's got Rome. I just mentioned the stat. Adam mentioned 16 TDs, 3 interceptions the last 8 games. Those are good numbers.
Yeah,
it is.
INT and touchdown to INT.
He's the better. Yards,
he's not lining it up.
And the Miami Texas A&M was obviously it was a slugfest. You know, scoreless first half. Miami only gets the 3-0 lead in the third, so it wasn't like they were blowing anything out there. I think the flip was the Ohio State team, which had, you know, obviously the talent in the Big Ten and what they had last year. You know, they got to that 14-0 lead, proving a lot. But then, hey, the second half maybe kind of sliding back to them still, but they still held them up. I think. They get off to a good enough start, and it's not pressure on maybe one or two big-time decisions is probably what you're hoping for if you're a Miami fan. I don't have as many questions in this game either, because I just think the Ole Miss coaching staff being in such disarray, like, are we trusting these guys to make the right calls too? And I think that evens out, I think, the coaching matchup that you normally would say, like, hey, Cristobal, great recruiter. Can he do the in-game stuff? But he's about building a team in the trenches, like I talked through. So it's about owning the line of scrimmage for him.
They kind of have like a me against the world thing too. Like, he was pretty vocal in that post game conference. If you caught that in the last game, it seems like they're vibing out very well. One quick thing though, and it kind of stuck. Ohio State losing their offensive coordinator, I think that hurt him, because Day took away his responsibilities for the last 2 games, and you could definitely see that.
Yeah, I mean, it hurt. I mean, I know we touched on it a lot, too, is the layoff for all these teams, right? I mean, we saw Texas Tech did not score. We saw Georgia, you know, Georgia got off to a pretty hot start, but, you know, even Indiana kind of struggled in that first quarter. So teams with the layoff, we've seen, what, they're 1-7? Teams coming off bye here in the playoffs, the only winner being Indiana. You know, going back to Miami, I mean, we know what they want to do. They know they want to control the trenches. They want to do all that. It's interesting because they haven't really played a team like Ole Miss that basically is the quickest team in the country. They run a play within, you know, 15, 16 seconds. Will they be able to wear down Miami's defense to the point in the fourth quarter where, like, Trinidad Chambliss is again, has time, maybe he's getting out of the pocket, making plays. You know, Georgia, I know Jason's touched on it a lot. We've talked about teams not being 2-3 deep dominant like they used to be in college football, to where, hey, I'm bringing in a 5-star guy followed by another 4- or 5-star guy. Now you're bringing in a guy that's like, hey, he's a 3rd-string guy, but really I would run a redshirt him for a year. He's having to come in and play important snaps because, you know, the team's on a 12-play drive, 8 minutes, wearing us down. To me, can Miami hold up in the trenches to where they don't get fatigued? They're getting a different attack that they have not seen all year. Ole Miss defensively, I'm not worried about them. You know, they play against this offense all the time. They give up points. They're kind of a bend but don't break. They get turnovers when they need to.
Yeah.
It's an interesting matchup that I think I feel confident in Ole Miss's coaching staff because Pete Golden, he's the defensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss, the OC, they're all still there. I feel confident in this Ole Miss coaching staff.
Weiss and is the players what's keeping us together. I think Weiss is
on the offensive side for sure. Because Joe Judge, you know, he doesn't know his lunch money from his, you know what.
All right.
Joe Judge, man. Didn't know he was on that staff.
Oh, well, hey. I wish he wasn't. But all he right, is.
Peach Bowl. We got Oregon against Indiana. Indiana favored by 3.5. Very same spread. And then the over-under is 48.5.
I got to say one thing before you get in that room. It's about the previous game. I should have said it up top, but I just don't like that Tostitos doesn't sponsor the Fiesta Bowl anymore.
I don't like it either.
It just feels wrong. I don't know what it did.
Didn't it go from VRBO. Tostitos to Vizio? Wasn't Vizio there sponsoring them for a while?
Yeah, but Tostitos just sounds right.
The commercials. I think I like the commercials leading up to the bowl game. A little Tostitos, a little crunch, a little salsa.
I don't know. It just made so much sense. The Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, like it was the corporate synergy that you wanted for a bowl game. You know that of
it made sense.
Great importance.
It should be grandfathered in, no doubt.
Yep. Fiesta Bowl. Need some tortilla chips with it. All right, Peach Bowl. You guys, good to go there in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. What you thinking, Aaron?
Yeah, Rome. You said it to start the show. I mean, Indiana's been the best team in college football. Really, maybe throughout the season, they're probably the best team remaining here in this tournament. Coming off that big Rose Bowl win against Alabama, you know, Oregon, we talked about shut out Texas Tech. This is a different offense than that. This is a rematch from a game midseason in which Indiana went to Eugene and won 30-20. I really like Indiana here. Money line for sure. I like them here -3.5 as well. I mean, for me, Oregon, look, they made a cross-country trip from Oregon to Miami last week. Flew back to Eugene. Now they're flying back into Atlanta here. All that travel. We talk about in the NFL how teams come out flat and don't play well. Well, in this college football, I expect these guys to come out flat and not play as well either. I love Indiana to win this game. I think Indiana's going to the national championship. And I'm just riding the Hoosiers. I'm on them big time here.
Nice. I don't really have much to add besides I hate the games being on a Thursday and Friday.
The only good thing about it is we have 5 straight days of football.
We do.
Playoff football, that is.
Saturday, Sunday. Oh, and Monday. Also the Monday night game. I forgot. Oh, man. Wow. Okay. Daughter gear up.
Yeah, I think Aaron's right on this. I've been against Indiana a lot of the year and in this playoff, too. But I'm not going to lie. You see Indiana football and you just don't believe it. But I think you watch these last couple of games. The Big Ten title game was kind of a wake up call a little bit because you saw what Ohio State should have been, defending national champions, and then where Indiana's been in this playoff. And Cignetti could talk that talk, man, and he gets the work done out there on the field.
I like him.
It's hard not to like, man. What was it, Google me? Is that what he said?
Yeah, Google me.
Not when he got there, but he's done it. James Madison. He's kind of like he's the new
Elon,
Nick Saban.
He's one of Elon.
Yeah, like he has like this Nick Saban vibe to him.
Well, he did work for Nick Saban. He was his main recruiter to get Alabama dynasty started.
Yep. Everybody that's coaching in this CFP has been with Nick Saban, I believe.
Pretty much. I mean, that's
is that the greatest college coaching tree ever?
100%.
I would agree. I heard a question. I'd love to give the source. I don't remember who I listened to. Is the Saban tree technically the Belichick tree since Saban worked for Belichick? But I knew he'd get down all.
Well, the Belichick tree in the NFL has been bad.
Bad.
But the Saban tree in college football has been great. So I would separate the two if I was Saban personally.
It's fair. I agree with that. But I think Aaron's right on the Indiana stuff. Oregon, I mean, they got, I would say, the favorable bracket. You know, with the first round matchup and then getting the weaker of the, first round bye teams in Texas Tech. And probably this is going to be, the first real big time test of this playoff for them. And overall in the regular season, like I think there was a lot of questions of what Oregon was going to bring to the table. Indiana's just been so dominant throughout the year. It's hard not to see them in the national championship game and definitely cover the 3.5 points. Agree with Aaron.
Nice. I'll be rooting for Indiana. I just think they're the best team out there. It seems a little unfair. You got two of the better teams in one bowl and then two other teams where, you know, maybe like a little luck and maybe not as...
I like the matchups personally, Rome. I mean, Oregon, Indiana, Big Ten feels great. In Miami, Ole Miss, kind of the underdogs. Who's going to be the underdog to get to knock off the almighty Big Ten that has won the last two national titles? It feels good. I think I like the storylines.
Okay. Interesting take.